Set up and we worked on the speech a little more and added things. and speak on the bus. And then, at least we think to our satisfaction. If we have trimmed it along to Greenville, we mention it. Four pilots from the table mention it. Some chocolate corn raisins that you finished. Reagan would weigh the people and comment, you know. Sometimes they could see them, sometimes they couldn't. And while we were talking with Reagan, he said, go ahead. He said, I can hear you while I do this. And then as we neared Greenville, the sun was setting, and Reagan said something that I can't quite remember. He said, look at that big row. Look at that big red puffball. Something to that effect over there. And it was just interesting. He's constantly looking at the little things that happen, this colorful event. As we turned the corner into the Greenville town square where the people were, we could see people spilled all over the place into different corners of the big, exuberant crowd. We could hear the voices outside saying, there he is. And he said, you know, he said, everywhere I go, this has been a watch for the campaign. If they come into anywhere where the crowds are, you can hear them say, there he is, there he is. And I said to him, I said, well, Governor, I said, you know, that's the title of your next book. Your last book was, Where's the Rest of Me? Your next book is, There He Is. He chuckled. I left him there when I had to get back to the airplane to get the speech reproduced. So Bill and I left and took one secretary, and we drove a state trooper. State trooper drove us at high speed halfway up to St. Louis, or down to St. Louis, and then radio ahead and had a St. Louis police county policeman meet us halfway, and then he took us the rest of the way. And we got into the airplane, and in the flurry started trying to reproduce the speech. This whole process of doing this, probably what was the most important speech since acceptance of death, was just crazy, bouncing around in the countryside trying to edit and make changes and do that kind of thing. It's just absurd the pressure that he worked under. It was typed all the way on the bus. And then I intended to take it with me back to the hotel, making corrections on typos, calling in, change, and then it would be ready in the morning. Unfortunately, I somehow forgot my copy on the bus or somewhere. And as a result, I had to stay up making phone calls and whatnot until 3 o'clock, no, until 3:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. And as it was, they had not hit the room for me. And as a last minute thing, the manager of the hotel gave me a presidential suite. I had this beautiful suite to stay in, and yet all I could do was just have a few hours of sleep, and then I had to get up early again. So after about 4.5 hours sleep, I got up and went over to headquarters and started working on the speech again. I was finally able to take the word count on it to time it. It was too short, but I left 2.5 minutes. I had to add material to it. I decided to add an economic section. And then I decided to add a new ending after talking with Reagan's TV consultant Bill Crothers, who thought that the ending was too abrupt. Bill Casey, the campaign manager, also came down where I was working on the speech and asked that a couple of things be put in it. Things were getting hectic, and because the taping would start at 2, when I talked to Bill Crothers, he said he wanted me at the taping. So I finally got the 2 inserts done, got them taken down. Got them taken by messenger with the WDT and the Steelers in Arlington for the tapings, and then got ready myself to go over at 2 o'clock. At a quarter to 2, I went over with Bill Casey. Still ran up to see Reagan too. And sat down and reviewed the script with him, what the other editions I had made. And Thank you.